This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Ben's column on January 24th, 2008, is titled Mel Family Politics, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. So, Ben, it's party time in Chicago in terms of political parties, isn't it?
Right. There's an election coming up.
This coming election day, February 5th, Iris Martinez is running to be elected the Democratic candidate that will then run in the November general election. Martinez is the incumbent.
Yeah.
She currently serves as a state senator, and she's running for the Democratic nomination against a guy named Rich Bradley.
Right.
Now, the winner of the February election would normally become the candidate that runs against the Republican and Green Party candidates
right.
in November. And the winner of that election would represent the 20th state Senate district. However, I can't tell whether the Republicans and the Greens are running a candidate for the 20th district because they don't have anyone in the primary. Do you know whether that prevents them from running someone in the general election?
Yeah, you have to run somebody. I'm not even aware if there's a Republican in the race in this district.
Well, they don't have anybody in the primary.
Well, then they can't have anybody in the general. To be in the general election, you have to run in the primary.
So not only is it tantamount to winning, but that is winning because there aren't going to be any opposers.
Right.
So essentially, this election will determine the winner.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. I see you have a great map. I'm very envious. Where'd you get that map?
I took a look at what is the area they're running in.
Yeah, it's a
so
great map.
Yeah, I've got a map here of the 20th District, which was surprisingly hard to find.
Yeah. I'm wondering where you got that great map. That's why I can ask you.
This appears on the Iris Martinez website.
This underscores another point of mine, that basic information, such as a map, is not easily available to people.
What you can get on, say, the Illinois General Assembly website
yeah.
is a legislative map, but it doesn't show any streets.
Right.
It just shows you outlines, and you can't really tell where you live.
Everything they can do to keep you ignorant, they will do. You know, there's hundreds of maps out there governing light races. Ward committeeman maps, so you need maps of the ward. You can't get a good ward map. They want you to be dumb. Because the dumber you are, the easier you are to control.
I was surprised how hard it was to find one.
Yeah.
Well, just for our listeners'
sake.
It's a
great map. Good
yeah,
job.
Thanks. Let's describe what the district looks like. It's essentially an upside-down T on the northwest side.
Yeah.
It does all the things that you expect districts to do. It leaves out block here and there.
Right.
So the north half of the T, it goes from roughly Lawrence on the north to Addison on the south, and then Pulaski on the west to, looks like the Chicago River on the east around California
yeah.
Avenue. And then the south part of the district goes from Addison on the north to Fullerton, sometimes down to Armitage here on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the west it goes to Laramie, and on the east it goes to about Damon, Clybourne, sometimes Western.
Okay.
In this race, we're talking about a state Senate district, and this mm-hmm. is the 20th district. Every state Senate district is comprised of two representative districts. So we have twice as many state reps as we do
That's correct.
State senators. In this case, the 20th Senate District is comprised of the 39th Representative District on the south, which is represented by Tony Berrios,
mm-hmm.
and the 40th Representative District on the north, which is represented by a guy named Rich Bradley.
Right.
So essentially, one could say Bradley's trying to double his domain.
Yeah, you could say that, though he was sort of drag kicking and screaming into doubling his domain. He was very comfortable in the House.
Well, your article describes a sort of drama whereby entrenched, powerful politicians work behind the scenes to manipulate who runs for what offices and who challenges whom.
Right.
But no matter how we got to this point, namely that Bradley is facing off against Martinez, ultimately, as a voter, I want to know who best represents me. In other words, what would you say to a voter who says the rest of that, the sort of the history, is besides the point?
Well, I would tell a voter that it's not beside the point. Aside from the fact that I find it incredibly entertaining, and sometimes I just have to entertain myself, it speaks volumes about where they're coming from. If it comes down to substantive issues, there is no reason to care. As far as I'm concerned, there is no independent elected official anywhere in Chicago other than arguably Mike Quigley and perhaps David Orr. All the rest of them are solidly on the daily plantation. And they look the other way for all the key issues that confront us as taxpayers and as policymakers. And I must have to laugh at it, that the biggest issue facing the city of Chicago right now, the issue of taxation and development, is crystallized in the Olympics. It's not even an issue in this campaign. Not only is nobody opposing it, nobody's talking about it. And that's because it's considered Mayor Daley's thing, and we're going to give it to them. So you say, if there's no difference, then I shouldn't vote at all. And I say, well, one can make that argument that there's no point in voting. And then there are these sort of minor symbolic differences where you might feel a desire to vote for Iris Martinez just to show Richard Mel that he can't just dictate who gets to be the elected official in every district, you know, that one boss doesn't have the kind of power to basically name who goes to Springfield for us. So in terms of symbolic importance, I think there an argument can be made that it's important to vote for Iris Martinez for that matter. Now, when she goes down to the State House, she's tremendously been supported by Senate President Emil Jones. So she will be a very loyal factotum of Senate President Emil Jones. So then you have to ask yourself, am I more disturbed by the fact that she'll be a factotum to Emil Jones, or that she'll be a total lackey to Richard Mel? And will Jones allow her greater leeway on the utility issues? The Senate's been really weak. They're largely controlled by ComEdison because Emil Jones is such a loyal ally of ComEdison. So
let me get your reaction to one of the ways that voters can get information about candidates and their differences. One of the advantages in this race, or arguably an advantage, is both of these candidates, because they are both currently serving in the state legislature, have campaign finance records and have voting records that the electorate can look at. Have you heard of this thing called Project Vote Smart? Mm-hmm. So Project Vote Smart is just one way to learn about candidates, where for either of these candidates, you can go to votesmart.org and look up either one of these folks. I'm sitting here looking at, for the last elections they were in, Project Vote Smart has categorized where their funding has come from. Mm-hmm. So each of them had an election in 2006, for example, and each of them roughly raised about $150,000, and Project Vote Smart breaks it down. And then you could also go and see how they voted in each of different areas of interest, such as abortion issues, budget spending and taxes, business and consumers. And then Project Vote Smart takes those votes and says, how do those jibe with the platforms of interest groups, like abortion rights groups or agriculture groups? And it tells you what percentage of the time they voted along with those interests. Do you think in this particular race, this information is helpful, or do you think the other considerations that they're loyal to their patrons is a more overriding consideration?
Well, I think all this, I mean, if abortion rights is a big issue to you and one of the candidates is fiercely against abortion rights, then that's obviously a reason for you not to vote for that person. I think in Springfield, legislators are largely pawns for the greater political interest. So in the House, in the case of Bradley, he's years and years in the House, he's a pawn to Michael Madigan, the House Speaker. And Michael Madigan allows his legislators a certain amount of leeway on certain issues. So if he realizes that they come from a pro-choice district and it would be suicide to make them vote for laws banning abortion, he would never force them to do that. He wants to keep them in office. He's willing to concede on that issue. These issues that this website outlines, they are a way of determining what your elected official's larger worldview is. But again, in terms of significant legislation that's going to come out of Springfield, they're largely soldiers in a larger army. And there's just no way of getting around that. You know, Chicagoans don't really like to elect hellraisers. I've noticed that. They like go-along guys. And they like people who just do whatever the bosses say, who don't attempt to come up with alternatives on significant issues. When I call significant issues, I'm talking about the issue of dividing up the pie in terms of the money that we send in, who gets it, what subsidies go where. If you could find out that there was a big difference between Iris Martinez and Bradley on an issue like abortion or gun control, then you should probably vote whichever way you go on those issues.
But I guess we'll leave it there for this particular issue. Ben, good luck on your voting.
Okay, yeah.
I hope you pick some winners.
Yeah, usually the people I vote for lose.
This is Dave Glowatz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.